Hey there, welcome back to the Lighthouse Podcast. This is Tom again, and this week we have a very special guest. Welcome to Heidi Pun.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Pretty well, thank you.
Excellent. So Heidi came to my notice recently because she just released a new book, or an e-book, which I read last week, and I have to say it's pretty fantastic. So
thank you, Tom.
Yeah, cool. We've got her in the studio to talk about that. The book is called...
So the book is called Your App Idea Probably Sucks.
And that's correct. It probably does suck. So, I mean, I'll give a quick intro to it because it struck a chord with me, because obviously a lot of what we do at Lighthouse is helping entrepreneurs validate ideas, bring products to market, that kind of thing. And the book is basically a summary of how you can go about doing that. I'd say like a really good practical guide to all those stages and aligns really well with the kind of stuff that we do here, slightly different in parts, which is interesting. I suppose the best place to start is a bit about you and how you came to writing this book.
What I do is I build websites, and I also release digital products every once in a while. So about 2.5 years ago, I released my first digital product, which was a video course on Udemy. It was about validating ideas. And the reason why I decided to take on that topic was because I think I understand the topic pretty well. And because I have all the necessary skills, basically, to go through the process of validating an idea properly.
Yeah.
So I decided to just pack it all up together into one video course that would take you from A to B, basically, within a few days, actually. So I went ahead and did that video course. I had no idea what I was doing, really. So, but I went and did it. It was, I like to say, it was pretty successful.
Sounds like it went well, definitely, yeah.
Yeah, it was, I think by now it has around 900 students.
Cool. Wow, that's good.
Yeah, for sure. I got a lot of feedback from it. It was rated quite well. But then I decided to just kind of, due to pricing changes on Udemy, due to a few other things, I just decided to just take another attempt at providing that content. Yeah. So I wrote this ebook.
Yeah, that's cool. I think a lot of the book obviously outlines the way that you should approach product development in making sure you're validating ideas, testing stuff, getting feedback from users. And it sounds like, I mean, well, you're an entrepreneur yourself, so I've done it that way and have gone through getting to this book by testing it with your actual users and them demanding that or proving that this content's important to them, and then taking it to the next level. So it's a really great practical approach to how you do that kind of stuff. I like the little quote here that you said you're embarrassed because it took you 6 months to actually launch something, which is, I mean, it's the thing we see all the time. People just want to go and build the best possible product and take 6 months, a year, 2 years to get to market. And, you know, the overarching story of what you say is that you need to be there quick and you need to be in front of users as soon as possible. Is that right?
That's right, yeah. The product that I validated, I mean, that I built in 6 months was actually validated before that. So it wasn't like I didn't go and spend 6 months on it. Which is something that really you shouldn't do ever. You should really put in as little effort and time as possible and just test the idea at a very basic level.
Yeah, definitely. So I love this. You don't matter. Your ideas don't matter. What matters are the people you serve. And I think, I mean, you can talk about this in a second, but definitely something that we see loads. We get lots of people getting in touch with the next Facebook idea or whatever it's going to be. You know, they've come up with some brilliant idea that's going to make them billions. And it's quite important, I think, from an entrepreneur's perspective to understand that isn't really going to make them the business. There's a lot more to it than that. I think your book outlines that well. So maybe you can talk a bit about the experience you've had with that and the advice you give to people.
Actually, this is something that I've learned in the recent years, basically, since I did, basically what I do a lot is build websites with content that people want, and they come to the websites, they read it, and they end up buying one of my products or something like that. How I started this was I just started writing for myself. I just wrote random articles that I thought people would like. And I had to change that mindset pretty quickly because that was not a successful approach to this, right? So what I eventually did was I started researching what people actually want. And this is a concept that I think ignoring in the beginning of their process, but they get a hang of it as they go along, because it's necessary to adopt this mindset before.
Why do you think it is that people ignore that at the start? Do you have any ideas there?
I mean, I'm not great at psychology or something, but I'm just guessing that it just feels good to build things for yourself, right? To just let your ego dictate what exactly you're going to build, and just build what you want.
Yeah, there's definitely that tunnel vision aspect of you've had an idea and you almost don't want it to be wrong. You don't want to be proven
exactly.
Wrong. So that validation aspect is huge, and certainly something anyone who comes to us, we're often trying to break their idea as much as we can.
For sure. And if
it gets through that research phase or that validation stage, you kind of know you've got something that's special or at least has a chance to succeed.
Yeah, I'd like to add something more to it. I just recently spoke to one person from a I'm not going to say the name, but from a startup. I actually found out that they were very focused on one feature of their product, which is a certain way that things are done technically.
Yeah,
which I think is kind of the wrong approach. I talk about this in the book as well. That a lot of, especially techie people, especially developers, kind of try to approach problems from the direction of what can be done instead of what's the problem, and then eventually deciding how it can be solved. So I would recommend for anyone interested in this, the book Start With Why.
Yeah,
I think everyone knows this book. But it's very important to really internalize this concept that really you should start with what is it that you're trying to solve? Why are you doing this? Not with how you're doing that.
Oh, completely. Yeah. No, it's a very important thing to remember. People don't buy features. They buy stuff that solves actual problems they have.
Absolutely. So,
features are great, but that's quite long down the line when you get to actually planning how you're going to solve a problem. And an idea doesn't mean success. There's a lot you have to do to get to that stage. I like the section you talked about not having to be first to market, which is actually quite timely. We put up a blog post two weeks ago that's about second mover advantage, which everyone should obviously check out. Very interesting. But I like that thought, because there's always that that worry from people that someone's going to steal their idea.
Yeah.
And in fact, you say that that's a really good thing if someone does, which I find fascinating. Maybe you could talk about that for a bit.
Yeah, well, the reason that, absolutely, it's true that your idea is probably going to be stolen if it's any good. That's just, there are plenty of clones of Flappy Bird, of, I don't know, every...
It goes back longer than that. All of history has that kind of stuff in it.
That is true. That's correct. Yes. So if your idea is any good, it will get stolen, and you should just accept that, right? Before even trying to build this. And also another thing that's true is that if you don't share your idea, you will not be able to build a business out of it, because at which point, you're being very secretive about this idea and you don't tell anyone what you're going to do. So at which point do you decide to finally start to market this?
Yeah.
Does it have to be all built out? It's just not how business works, I think, or it's not the most optimal way of doing this.
No, not at all. And again, the idea of validation can't happen without speaking to people.
Of course,
How are you going to learn if people actually want your idea if you can't share it with them and the wider network?
Exactly.
You need them involved to do that. And something that we see quite a lot of people getting in touch, sending over non-disclosure agreements, saying, here's my secret idea, don't tell anyone. And we just reply and say, you've got to tell everyone. This is really important. So it's throw that away and let's just start talking about this and get it into the real world. And perfectionism is something you talk about as well, which is, we always try and say that certainly an MVP, minimum viable product, is the minimum you can do to get something out there. And that doesn't include perfection.
No, for sure. I mean, it is kind of hard to strike the balance between, getting like something out that is actually functional, or at least shows the concept, and not overdoing it. But I guess everyone knows for themselves what exactly is the basis, what's the most essential part of their product, and just, you know, try and build that, or just try and illustrate this, whatever it is that your product does.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So I think a real key part of the book, I mean, so the book covers like a load of stuff about how you'd get to an idea, and, you know, the steps you can do to validate stuff and get going, which I think is really good. And there's also the kind of practical approach later on about how you can actually do stuff, which I think both work really, really well. And a great thing about it is that you don't really need any tech skill to do all this kind of stuff. You've got links to services you can use to do that kind of thing. And most people would be able to do pretty much all of what's in the book and get something out to market, which I think is a really important message, to not hire a developer too early. Most people come to us and just want, you know, let's build something straight away. What's your experience of that kind of thing? And what's your message behind not hiring a kind of tech team or someone to build an app?
Yeah, I think that, well, there are very few available developers right now, especially good ones. So, and as far as, I'm not a developer myself, but I do have a lot of developer friends who all tell me the same thing, which is they get pitched by people with ideas a lot. And these people with ideas tend to have a very similar way of presenting these ideas. They practically everyone, I mean, no one actually has like actual proof that this is going to work. They probably don't have the skills to market it even, and they don't have the money. So they just kind of expect developers to jump on this idea and just work for free until they figure out what's going to, you know, if it's going to work or not, which is unrealistic. I think that anyone can agree that they just are not going to work for free, not even if they're not developers. You know, it just doesn't make sense. So what I find is more useful when pitching tech or tech teams or developers is to have an actual proof, to have to actually have the customers if possible. And yeah, that's definitely a selling point. Like, and then you can make a good deal with, you know, you can even offer actual equity or whatever deal is, but not until it's been proven.
Completely agree. You know, we get the same thing happening here. So people come along with an idea. Do you want to have equity split for this kind of thing? And it's like, what are we splitting? Like, it's just, how's that going to work? And we could take 100% of your idea, because like, what's it worth? Nothing right now. But yeah, totally, having that proof, I think, is great. And you launch MVPs, you talk about doing that. We often do stuff like prototyping before to kind of get interest from the market, from real customers, really similar stuff we'd be talking about. I think one thing that was really interesting about your book was the idea, and this kind of relates to like the Lean Startup and books like that, is that you want to start charging people as early as possible and actually making money from stuff.
That's right. Yeah, a lot of people just kind of set up like a landing page and try to gauge interest by you know, having like a wait list or something. I don't think that's enough really to really gauge the interest of the market, because a lot of people just will sign up and maybe not be interested to pay. They might be just interested in a free service or something. That can be a problem. So you want to kind of think about how you will monetize this idea, and then according to this monetization, also test the monetization model within this validation process, I think.
And you did the same thing with the ebook, right? You had people pay for it before you'd even written a
exactly.
Word.
Yeah, for sure.
So cool. It's all done from actual real world practice. That's it's great. Do you want to talk maybe a little bit about the approach you recommend for finding users and doing market research and that kind of thing? I thought that was a great section.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I'm very fascinated by marketing in general, and I don't think that there's always something to learn in this area. But as far as I know, the first step of marketing starts within the market research. So before you even start building any sort of or designing any sort of prototype or anything, you will have to first decide what your target audience is, where they hang out online or offline, and then just find out what exactly are their problems and how you can kind of approach them. So in the first step, you will have to do this research, and then this research can be used later on as you attempt to market your idea. And you will just know where exactly to find your prospective customers, basically. So that's the first step of marketing, I'm guessing. I did write a bit about copywriting as well. This is all very important, but it's a huge, very vast topic that I really just couldn't cram into.
You could write an entire book about both of those.
Yeah, exactly.
But I think, I mean, the copywriting stuff is really cool because certainly when it comes to someone who's got an idea and thought of features, they haven't thought a lot. Those people often haven't thought a lot about how they describe their product or how they're going to market it. And it's like, oh, we'll do some marketing. Cool. What's the plan? You know, and that's a really important part of how you do this stuff.
For sure.
So I think as a kind of guide, to, there's a section about writing an elevator pitch, which I really liked. Because that's something that's really important. You've got to describe what your product is quickly and easily and make it kind of catchy, which is something that, I mean, it's a very hard thing to do. So maybe you could just talk about like a simple method that people could use for doing that.
Yeah, actually, I've got to say that I've talked to a lot of people with an idea, and they also I think a huge problem that a lot of people have is just going into all the directions at once. Their product doesn't just order pizzas. They also kind of, I don't know, can order taxis and watch TV through the app. I don't know. So they're just not focused enough, right? What you have to do is, I don't have the formula in front of me, but there's
Remember every word of the book. Oh, that's shocking.
No, do you have it there?
I do.
So the formula that I came up with to help people kind of come up with a good elevator pitch is name. So the name of the app is an app that lets who, so who is your target audience, do what. So just very short one word description of what your app does by how. How is the basically the technological way of how your app will work in the end. So this this elevator pitch formula, I think, would help people to kind of just focus on the one thing that, that their app idea does.
Yeah, having that kind of like niche focus on a product is really important because, you know, some people, you ask them who their target audience is and they basically say everyone over 13 or something like that. And it's just like, well, where do you find them? Well, everywhere, but that's no good. So we always recommend, certainly when we're kind of prototyping something or validating the start of an idea, that you focus on someone really specific and then grow from there. Because that's how you work out whether the product hits right for the audience. If you're testing on someone who's a five-year-old girl, and then a 50-year-old man, I mean, they'll give you completely different feedback from when you test your idea. So it's impossible to know whether it's good or not.
For sure.
Okay, cool. So, I mean, so you launched a product called ThemeBro. And quite a lot of the book is talking about how you got to the stage of launching and what happened after. But maybe you can give us like a background to how that came to market.
For sure, yeah. So ThemeBro is basically a web app that lets you filter out WordPress themes by visual filters, basically. So this was a problem that I have had a lot because what I do is also build websites. And I also always have this specific idea of how a website would I would like it to look like. But searching WordPress themes by visuals, the characteristics just isn't available anywhere. No, so you just have this very useless categories like magazine, personal, news. I don't know. I don't know what even either of those mean.
Yeah, it's always baffled me as well.
So I decided to maybe build that out. But since I authored a video course on validating ideas, I was not able to just jump into it and just build out this this idea. And at that time, I also had a 9-to-5 job, so I really didn't have a lot of time. So I took a week off from my job And I decided to kind of put together an MVP, which was a very basic application built on top of WordPress, actually, that had about, I think it was 20 or 30 themes, very basic filters, and just kind of to gauge the idea. The reason that I didn't take the approach of just creating a design and launching a landing page was that my launch strategy was to post the product on Product Hunt, which was... It would not work if I were just to set up like...
No, people want to actually use the stuff on there rather than have an idea.
I don't think you can actually submit a non-functional prototype.
Yeah, probably not. Yeah.
So the launch went actually pretty well. I think I do have a case study written on designforfounders.com about this with exact numbers, but it was... It did make some revenue, this MVP, and it was quite successful on Product Hunt. So that was an indication that there is some sort of interest for a product like this. But I was not able to build that out at that point because I still had a job. So as I quit my job, I decided to focus on this idea, and I spent, as we discussed, 6 months on it because I suck at coding. So I went and built this. We added quite a few of WordPress themes. I set up all these processes. I had like a VA, so a virtual assistant, add in the themes and just stack them with these filters and everything. And we launched, I think it was a year and a half ago, and it went pretty well. I mean, the website actually generated passive income for a little while. I mean, for actually until I shut it down a few months ago, temporarily, hopefully.
You'll be back.
Yeah. it was still generating passive income. I didn't do any marketing apart from the launch on, again, another launch on Product Hunt. And some content marketing that I did. But yeah, I mean, this was definitely, like, right now it's shut down due to server costs because the code was not very well written, and I was being charged every month for GPU overage, and it's just so this might actually come back, this product.
So it needs a refactor and then it's going to return.
Exactly. It needs some someone who actually can code.
I'm sure you're better than you're admitting to. Maybe talk a bit about the content marketing side of things, because that's something that we advise people to do quite a lot.
Content marketing.
Yeah,
this is something that I have a lot of experience with because this is what I do a lot. And I would say that content marketing is a great way to kind of build an audience who you can then launch products to. But for validation purposes, I think it's not very effective because it takes a long time to build that audience. So if you just have an idea right now that you want to test, I would advise against focusing on content marketing, because it will take you a long time for to build that kind of readership, visitors, and then...
It's a nice long-term strategy, isn't it?
But
not something you can do to just be top of Google or whatever because of your keywords and have people find you that way.
Right.
But definitely a good way to position yourself as an expert in your sector and become very well known if it works.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I suppose... There's some. I urge people to go and read the book, and there'll be a link in the show notes and all that kind of stuff to follow this kind of plan to get to market. I think it works really well. What would you say are the kind of problems that people might face if they didn't follow this sort of practice?
Yeah, well, there's definitely the problem of wasting a lot of energy, time, and money on a product that no one might want.
Yeah.
And that's very common for people with ideas because there's so many ideas that might look good or are just maybe they're genius, but it's not the right time for them on the market, or simply they don't have like... they can't be funded via the usual consumer to business route. Really, that's the main thing. And especially like what is problematic, I think, for people is that they might spend so much time working on a product without the input from actual customers.
Yeah.
That, you know, so if they were just to pivot a little bit in the early stages of building the that product, they might be super successful. But since they didn't and they were, I don't know, afraid of, I don't know.
Change
or of
being wrong or yeah.
Of their idea being stolen, as we discussed earlier. That would, you know, they might land in a completely different idea that just nobody wants.
Yeah.
And it's a real pity. I mean, since you're putting in all this effort, why not just do it right?
I know. Don't have to tell me. There's that whole build, measure, learn thing, which is like trying to break down product development and setting up a new business or a digital business to small chunks that you put something out there, find how it does, learn from that. And then build something new and just keep on going around in a cycle to make sure that everything you do is targeted right and that your audience actually wants it. So it's a great way to think about doing this kind of stuff. And it works along every single cycle of putting out a new, you know, a new business, basically. It doesn't even have to be online, but it suits itself very well to it. So I think there was just one quote, which I didn't read out earlier, which I thought was quite nice. And it's something that I think resonates well with what we tell people, is just going back to the thinking that an idea isn't necessarily the most important thing. The quote that you have is a good idea doesn't automatically create a successful business. It's actually the people behind the ideas that make it work and how committed they are to executing their vision. It's the long hours of hard work and the quality of it. The idea is only the spark that starts it. Which I think is a really nice thing to say, because it's the team that's really important, isn't it, as well? Like the founders of a project, if they care about it and if they know a lot about it, is something that we find. The people that we've worked with who are really successful are the ones that have a massive passion for you know, the sector or the idea that they care about. Because you're going to commit a lot of time to building this if it becomes as big as, you know, the big success stories of Silicon Valley or even London Silicon Roundabout or whatever.
Yeah, for sure.
So I think that's really nice to have you in to talk about the book and you know what you get up to. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
I suppose the best place to finish up is just where people can find you online, follow you on Twitter and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, my website is designforfounders.com.
Yep.
And I can be found on Twitter at design4, as in the number, founders, where you'll also find all the links to the book and to my other book. And
Everyone should check that out. There's some good content up there, so well worth a look. Yeah, cool. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. We'll be back soon. Go and check us out. wearelighthouse.com/blog for more articles and podcasts. You can find us on Twitter and Facebook and all that kind of stuff if you want. Leave us a rating on iTunes, all that kind of good stuff. We would love for you to send us questions as well. Get in touch, guys. Until then, see you later.